Oh, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. Yes, this is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching right here in the Great Pacific Northwest. We'll talk about, well, caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country tonight. So, while you're hunting for that one burned out Christmas bulb, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
You know, we can't do that unless we bring in our geocoin collecting capuchin. Some say he secretly loves Canadian football. And others say the Prime Minister mandated that he must have at least two Mounties with him at all times while earth caching. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, everybody. Nice to be back again. It's a Thursday evening. It's time for Caching in the Northwest. I get to hang out with two of my best friends. And in fact, I get to hang out with four friends tonight, which is awesome. So excited. We're going to get to that just in a moment. But first, we want to, as we always do after the start of the podcast, to thank our supporters, all of our Patreon supporters. Of course, our Denali level supporters, which are Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. But all of our supporters who are Subway Mark, Cachemaniacs, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBXG, Camp Clan, B Pendragon, and Billy Robson. And I can still do it in one breath, so we don't have enough patrons.
Right. You've really worked on your lung capacity in the last couple of weeks, though.
I've been hiking, and as I was sharing with our guests earlier, I've been curling last night. So I'm just getting out there doing all the sports. So yeah. You know what? There is an important announcement we need to share about Patreon. So I was just updated by my more lucid than I colleagues this evening that Patreon has made some changes that you should be aware of if you are a patron. Patrons will be paying a process fee of 2.9% plus 35 cents. So we understand if that impacts you and you have to make a change to your donation level. We understand that and we appreciate that. And change that's out of the scope of our control. We're just passing the message on. Don't shoot the messengers.
Please. All right. Well, some business out of the way for tonight's show. We are going to be talking about geocoin design. You ever wanted to make a geocoin? Tonight's the show you want to pay attention to. And we're thrilled to have with us Kid Vegas 19 and Lookout Lisa. So welcome back to Caching the Northwest.
Well, thanks for having us, guys. It's always fun to hang out, whether over the air or in the store or out in the field.
Mm-hmm. Great to be here.
Good. It's great to have you guys. We just love hanging out with you guys. All right. You know what? Before we get started, though, we got to remind all of you listeners and viewers that geocaching.com updates your profile page while you sleep, and we want to empower you to get back at them by updating it yourself with your own Caching in the Northwest Glow or Geocaching Log of the Week badge for your profile page. Now, Chris, what would you pay for one of these badges?
I would pay $19.95, and that includes shipping and handling, but you can get it
for
free.
2.9% and 35 cents?
That's yes. What I pay.
Yeah,
that's...
Okay, so I have to pay $18.36, and then with the fees, yeah.
That's the year I was born.
Oh, you've aged well.
No, thank you.
Or not? I'm not sure. Hey, whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it because great logs simply make geocaching better. So send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You can call in to 253-693-TFTC or use that voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow. And you know what? We will send you a glow badge absolutely free, no charge. But wait, see what else you get. I don't know. Yeah. But just wait.
Does it glow in the dark?
Just wait.
Good.
It does if your computer's on.
There you go.
And the great thing about zero charge is that 2.9% of zero, well, it's still zero. So there you go.
We'll
wave 35 cents. Exactly. We'll wave 35 cents. You took it out of my mouth.
Did you do that math in your head?
Yeah. Did you see the smoke?
No.
Okay. Good. Whew. All right. Well, this week's glow came to us from a friend of the podcast, loyal listener, and in the chat room tonight. Hi, Ham. It's from a cache, MVG082. Nice legs. The owner of this cache is somewhat questionable. But the GC code, should you choose to look it up, is GC59F0D. And if you've looked it up, you know that the cache owner I was referring to is our own Land Monkey. So the log reads, found this one kicking around downtown Vancouver this afternoon with monkey cakes. Legged it up to ground zero. No running around was needed. Nor do you have to be fleet of foot to grab it. On the other hand, it helps to be on your toes, thinking on your feet, ready to run with your first instinct. Cache was in decent shape, although a previous finder had cross-threaded it, so took some effort to open it. Signed CC for Camp Clan and got it closed properly. Find number. I love sequential numbers. 2345.
Wow.
Thanks for cash. Land monkeys.
There you go. That sounds like a milestone number.
Yeah.
2345.
The next time we'll hear from them is 23456.
Well, now for land monkeys, that'd take about 2 weeks, but for IHAM, it might take about three.
Okay. There you go. So IHAM, thank you. And first of all, IHAM, thank you for fixing the cache while you were in the field. And one of my pet peeves is when I come across a cache container, bison tube, or this one is a magnetic nano, but whatever it is, and someone's cross-threaded it because they're, I don't know, they're in a hurry or they don't know what they're doing or for whatever reason. Just a pet peeve. It's been a pet peeve for me long before I was a geocacher when I find things cross-threaded. So.
Yeah.
It's just,
or
oh,
if the cache just isn't closed properly. It could be an ammo can that, you know, isn't sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you, IHAM. Appreciate that. I think that one does need a new log sheet in it, maybe. I can't remember. I think there's some other feedback I'd had on that one recently, so I'll probably be making a maintenance run out there. But I think it's a neat location. That one is just outside of one of the SkyTrain stations, so it's easy to get to by taking transit when you're visiting Vancouver. And it's at an interesting piece of outdoor art. So if you look up GC59FOD, you'll see what that's all about. All right. Well, folks, if there is some sort of milestone cache that you're celebrating, whether it's 2345 or 2345678910, why not call it in to 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community? We would love to hear your own voice. Tell us about your milestone find, and you can even use the voicemail tool on the website.
That works really well.
It does.
Voicemail tool, phone, we don't care. Just send it in. We'd love to hear it.
We're pretty easy going.
Yeah. So, this week in Northwest caching, have you listeners out there been caching this week?
In the Northwest?
Well, yes, of course. Why don't you share your stories in the chat room and tag them with hashtag FTAS, which is for the after show. And we'll chat about them, well, in the after show. Weird that way, I know.
Yes, you are weird.
So any of our guests or our hosts, anybody get out geocaching in the past week?
I'm filling in a calendar. So I had last weekend 3 days to do, and just mixing it in with running regular errands and then trying to get nearby SOS Sustainability of Spokane tour caches that I don't have under my belt yet. Yeah.
You haven't completed the SOS tour yet.
No, we're letting our guests finish it first.
Yeah.
Wow, how gracious.
We're a little too busy setting it up.
I was going to say, you were a little busy on launch day, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, it's a titch.
Wow.
I really enjoyed that geo. I almost said geo tour. It's a geocaching tour.
Yep.
Geocache tour, geocache adventure. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a geo tour for about 6 weeks.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
I knew there was a fine line there somewhere. Okay.
It was, yeah. Geo tours, they last 365 days. And Groundspeak let us roll over to our new theme before our 1 year expired.
Awesome.
So,
nice.
But now it still works the same. It's just not a geo tour, it's a geo challenge.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did. We really enjoyed it. And when we went and did it, we had an awesome start because we got to spend a little bit of time chatting with you guys before we got going on it. So that was
fun. It was awesome to see you guys. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I would actually highly recommend the hotel across from the cache cave if anybody needs a place to stay. the folks there were so nice to us.
Good.
Gave us an upgrade because we were polite Canadians or something. I don't know what happened, but we got our room upgraded and didn't even have to ask. So
nice.
Wow.
Great. And which one did you stay at again?
I think it's a Holiday Inn? I'm not sure. It's someone like directly across the street from you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They've been making renovations to it lately, the past 3 weeks, so everything's covered up.
Is that because of damage that the land monkeys did in their visit?
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay, good.
That was polite, great. So yeah, we enjoyed that geotour. It's really well done. And I think one of the things I really liked about it is the variety of caches and variety of locations without even really having to go so much outside of the city of Spokane. There's just a lot of diversity in that tour. That was a lot of fun.
Good. Nice.
Yeah, we had a great team that really worked hard to put it all together.
Nice.
So, JD, are you working on your 365-day calendar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time, I've let my milestones and that type of stuff, fizzies and whatever's just, if they happen, they happen organically. And I got to looking at the calendar and it's, I think I'm down to 5 days now throughout the whole year. Nice. Okay.
It's time. Yeah.
Nice. Got to be purposeful about it.
There you go. Purposeful. Mindful.
Yes. Mindfulness. That's the word for 2018 that I'm going to use. Mindfulness.
Mindful. I like it.
There you go.
Awesome. Oh, I like it. Oh.
How about Wits End or Chris of the Northwest? You guys get any geocaching in this week?
Not this week. It was a busy week at work. I didn't get time to get out. I think I looked for a couple, but no finds.
Well, at least you looked.
Yeah.
I actually found one this week. It was, I told you a couple of weeks ago, I solved a puzzle cache. So I was back in the area and I was able to find that puzzle cache. You know, I knew what I was looking for, basically walked right up to it. So was a nice find, and you got to look at some boats, and my wife and I decided I think we could live comfortably on a $1.1 million yacht. So
I hope so.
Good to know.
I think you should try it out first, but yeah.
You got to have goal.
You might have to buy two of them.
Okay. One for each of us.
His and
hers.
Nice.
No, I think I'll get the dinghy.
Awesome. Are you buying a boat? Because I said you were getting a little dinghy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm already there.
You know, guys, I think maybe we'll switch gears into some news here.
We've
got a whole lot of news. There's been a lot going on in the geocaching world in the past week.
I
was surprised at how many news items I was finding without even really trying that hard. So let's get it rolling so we can get into talking about geocoin design. So we'll get through the news. First one I have here is that Geocaching HQ has done some more heavy lifting on the website, and this time it's in the Edit Cache Things page. So those improvements include waypoints and attributes are integrated into the initial page. That means there's no need to visit a separate page to add and edit waypoints or attributes. So that's handy. The page's map is apparently much more useful. They've switched to using OpenStreetMap, and that allows zoom in, zoom out, which wasn't previously available. I found the previous map not super useful at all. So they've taken that, and you can see posted coordinates and waypoints on the map. So that's really good. I think that's a good addition as they continue to improve things. And apparently, the submit for review process is simplified. Now, I don't know what that means. I haven't submitted a cache listing since these changes have been made, but I know we have at least one reviewer who often listens live to the show. So hopefully
hopefully
we can hear some feedback on whether this stuff actually is helpful to the reviewers, because obviously if it's helpful to those submitting caches, that's great.
Yeah. But
we can make the reviewer's life easier. That helps also.
Well, now I know this was tagged after show in the chat room, but I'm going to throw it in because it relates directly to this submit for review process. Team Finn commented, just submitted a new cache, and with the new layout, you can't edit the page after submitting the listing. and our reviewer friend that you referenced said you need to look for a cancel button to cancel your submission. Only submit when it's ready.
There you go. Well, and I think part of that is that they have had, and Brylin can probably speak to this better than I can, but I know there have been situations in the past where people have edited caches after they're submitted for review.
Oh, yeah.
Messes things up for the reviewers. So I can understand why that.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's actually not a bad thing to have. And so back to Brylin's advice, you know, do due diligence, double check your work before you hit submit.
Yeah.
Doesn't solve the problem of submitting without actually going out to place your cache.
You're supposed to check that box. You're supposed to do all that first.
So. I've heard a rumor that reviewers are going to start using drones to process them. That'll help that a lot.
I had the cache all made up, had the location, submitted it. Oh, it got approved. I better go put it out there. Yeah, the box, the big metal box was aluminum, not steel. Magnets didn't work. Hold on. Take that cash down.
Cancel.
I didn't do that ahead of time.
No, it's not actually magnetically attached. No.
If only we could work out a minority report kind of thing that we could review the cash before we ever even thought of it.
Right. Ooh. Go back and tell everyone ahead of time. That'd be great.
I'm not going to do this one. It's not going to get any favorite points.
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that angle, but that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a topic for another night. But in other news, you know, loyal longtime listeners have known that, well, I want to see Australia. It's on my bucket list to travel to Australia someday. It really, really is. And, you know, I'm sure many people here in the Northwest would love nothing more than for me to leave the Northern Hemisphere altogether and visit Australia just to get out of here. But seriously, it's time to send me to Australia because Geocaching HQ shared this week. They said, we're excited to share Signal's next destination with you first as he continues to celebrate geocaching around the world. Visiting the Southern Hemisphere for Australia Day 2018, everyone's favorite frog is planning to join in the festivities and barbecue like an Aussie would. So you can take part of the celebration, whether you travel to Australia or not. But as I said, if somebody out here wants to sponsor Witsand going to Australia, please do.
We'll do a GoFundMe page for a one-way ticket.
There you go. I like it. My wife would probably contribute heavily. You can take part of the celebration by hosting or attending an event on Friday, January 26th through January 28th, 2018, and you will earn the Australia Day 2018 souvenir by doing so.
It will be upside down.
Well, of course, yeah.
It'd be brilliant if it was.
I think that's longer than International Geocache or Earth Cache Day.
Yeah.
Well, it's Earth Cache weekend now, so you know, okay. We're letting that one go.
Okay.
We're moving on to new challenges.
Oh, you're a big man there.
New challenges, new souvenirs.
There you go. Speaking of new souvenirs.
You know what? We all know there's two new souvenirs coming up, right? One for December 31st, one for January 5th.
Yeah, last cache of the year, first cache of the new year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's even more. There are five new country souvenirs you can get right now. That's Argentina, Liechtenstein, Malta, Malaysia, and Namibia.
Namibia.
There is an I there. Sorry, Namibia.
That's Namibia.
The font was a little too small. That was my bad.
Road trip.
You sent me to the wrong country.
I did, to go get a country that does not exist. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I'm like, that's not a real country.
Africa.
Yeah, so go get those. I mean, that's a huge hashtag geocache road trip.
Heck yeah.
All five countries.
All five countries in one day.
Well...
Is Concord still running? Yeah.
Nope.
Scotty, beam me up.
Yeah.
That's the solution.
That would be a fun five countries in five consecutive caches.
I found Munzees in several countries within an hour time span one time and got an email from Munzee about that. It was a proof of concept. Let's just leave it at that.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, you know what? Speaking of proof of concept, something we wanted to share just because it's been in the news a lot. And everybody has their opinions about it, but I just wanted to share some thoughts around it. In the past week or so, there's been a lot of talk about the U.S. federal and state government political decision impacting land set aside for recreational purposes, either whether it's within federal or state jurisdictions with a focus on lands in Utah. Folks will probably know what I'm talking about. I think it's called the Bear Ears. And there's another area that's up for is the other one that's in question. Now, Escalante. Grand Escalante, thank you. To be clear, this podcast is not taking political sides. This is not what we're on the podcast for, but we do love the outdoors. And like most of life, it's a complicated issue. We're not going to weigh in or choose sides, but we encourage you to learn what you can about the situation from as balanced an approach as possible. Make your own decisions, but just be aware. And, you know, I feel, just personally speaking, it's something that Americans should be educated on and have an opinion about. It's your land, it's your economy, it's your governance. But I also feel it's valuable for, you know, us Canadians and other nationalities and folks who are listening to this podcast to observe and learn and not just sit back and be aloof about land use issues in the U.S., but think about what's going on there. Think about how it affects you in your own country. And when things come up in your own country, let's learn from what's going on elsewhere. Be aware and educated. So not taking any sides, just saying, learn what you can, form your own opinions, but mm-hmm. be aware.
Land Monkey, I am going to take a side. I'm going to take the outside.
Oh, nope. Nice. Opt outside on Black Friday.
Good option.
Yep. Get out. Yes. Get out now.
Is what be aware and be alert because the world needs more alerts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in Google News, the Santa tracker now features insights on Christmas holiday traditions from around the world.
Cool.
All you have to do is go visit santatracker.google.com/traditions.html. And, you know, it's fun to track Santa. NORAD tracks Santa. You can find Santa trackers on NORAD's website. You can find a Santa Claus net on 14.300 kilohertz there on the radio. And, you know, Santa, well, it's that 'tis the season, right?
Well, yeah, I thought this thing was pretty cool. So I checked it out, the santatracker.google.com/traditions. And it gives you an interactive map of the world where you can click on, they've basically put clickable dots on the capital cities of various countries on a map of the world. And it pops up and gives you a little insight into the traditions that are related to Christmas in that country. And so
nice.
Kind of neat for me to look at some of the countries that I know I have heritage from and click on and go, yeah, that's a thing. That totally drove me to that. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of neat. I really enjoyed that. And I love the fact that when I clicked on Ottawa for Canada, it did mention the fact that we wear winter hats called toques, which I thought was very cute.
What a nice winter hat you're wearing today.
Yeah. I'm going to go check that one out. That's a lot of fun.
I honestly have always thought the rest of the world also called them toques until I worked at the Olympics and my American friends were calling them beanies.
Beanies.
And I thought, no, beanies are the things that like Jughead wears, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. They were stocking caps when I grew up, you know. So
they're toques, man.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know of the word toque until, well, Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad we've been able to educate the rest of the world through role models of Canadians.
Yeah. I'm gonna go read up on Santa. That's great though. You know, Santa sometimes forgets all the states, you know. He thought there was only 49 states. He argued with an elf about it until they compared lists. And the elf said, yes, Santa Claus, there is a Virginia.
Oh.
Oh, well done. Well done. Oh, I can't compete with that.
Is the show over now?
Yes. That's it. We're going to end on a high note. Thank you so much.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Good night, Des Moines.
Okay. Let's go back into a topic. It's not going to be as good as the joke, but Gold Country, which is very good, by the way.
Yes.
After Gold Party's getting a party together. Gold Country is getting a party together. Did I say that right? Gold Country, somewhere. After holiday party get-together for 2018, come out and hang out with us. We've started a 2018 geo event planning, but first we want to take some time and hang out with everyone, so invite your geocaching friends. This is Saturday, January 13th at the Cache Creek Community Hall, 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. We'll have some snacks, maybe even some wine, and rehash what a crazy year it has been for Gold Country. So mark your calendar, mark your will attends, mm-hmm. and head on up to Gold Country and hang out with some of your friends.
That sounds great.
Hang out definitely with your friends with the road and mark your will attends.
There you go. Nicely rhymed, my friend.
Purely by accident.
Yeah, it has been a crazy year for Gold Country. I think we've told all kinds of stories about Gold Country. We had Terry on in the fall. Yep. Sharing with us some of the stuff that's been going on up there. Thus, the big event for this past September was postponed until, I think they're talking March. March or April, I think I heard. I can't remember. I'm going to be completely wrong, and hopefully someone will correct me. But definitely get on up there. And,
you know, I would go up to this event, and you're going to find out when the next one is going to be.
There you go. So don't trust the land monkey. He doesn't know what he's talking about. All right. But you know what? There is something I do know what I'm talking about, and it's a contest. And if you haven't heard about it yet, you'll hear about it now. Us land monkeys have been privileged and generously sent some of the Magic the Gathering rivals of Ixalan. I have no idea how to pronounce this word. I pronounce it Ixalan because it looks like Ixalan to me.
Fair enough.
So Magic the Gathering trackables from the new Magic the Gathering trackables that are going out. We've got some of them, and we have some of them to give away. So if you follow, like, or retweet any LandMonkey GC posts on Twitter that contain the words geocaching and magic, so the post has to have the word geocaching and magic in it, and if you retweet it, like it, or if you follow us, which would also be nice, thank you, you'll be entered in to win some of these cool Magic the Gathering TBs that HQ sent us to give away to all of you amazing people who listen to the podcast and follow us on Twitter.
Very cool.
Hopefully I've made it simple enough. I've made it very complicated to listen to me trying to explain it. All you have to do, follow us on Twitter. If you see a tweet that says magic and geocaching, retweet it, like it, and you're entered.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. Yes. I know you've tried to explain it thoroughly, but I have a couple of questions.
I'm sure I messed it up.
Now, I follow you guys already.
Yes.
Am I already automatically included, or do I have to unfollow you and refollow you?
Oh, that's a great question. So the following is how you will find out that I'm tweeting these things.
Okay.
So you should really just follow.
So following you just by itself doesn't enter the contest?
Not so much.
Okay.
But you won't really find out until you follow, and it's at LandMonkeyGC. Sure. So like and retweet.
All right.
Any tweets and have magic and geocaching.
Are you going to share? Have there already been any tweets with geocaching and magic included? Or do I just need to go and scour your feed to find it out for myself?
There's been one, which is the announcement of the contest.
Okay.
So technically that counts. But there's going to be a whole bunch more. And there's a hashtag geocache road trip coming up this weekend.
Nice.
At which I hope to get some more tweets out.
Very cool. Whether or not there's a contest involved, it's still an excellent social media channel to follow. I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Other excellent things in the Northwest geocaching world. There's a friend and listener to our show, Bounce Bounce. And you know what? Bounce Bounce is an award-winning geocacher, and Bounce Bounce has received yet another Travel Bug Hotel Award. For this is for the Ambam MBOM Travel Bug Hotel. Travel Bug Hotels of America is proud to award this stellar cache with its highly coveted 5-bug badge of honor. We hope the added exposure will bring many more travelers your way. So, congratulations to Bounce Bounce. This, by the way, a Travel Bug Hotel is the only kind of hotel that I want to deal with 5 bugs in. Exactly. Any bugs, really. But, yeah. So, Bounce.
Yes.
Nice.
We joked about that he can't hide any more caches because he's already won all the awards, but I beg to differ. Keep up the good work.
Certainly. Nice. Keep up the good work.
Yep.
Now, speaking of good work, we need to bring in our guests. This episode, we're going to talk about something that may sound a bit new, but apparently it isn't new at all. It's Geocoin design and production. So let's start with you, Kid Vegas. How long have you been doing this?
Well, before I get into that, I have a couple of questions. The first question is, who does not secretly love Canadian football? So we got that. And then the second question I have is about the GLOW contest. Is that for a log I've written this week, or could it be for something in the past?
Oh, anytime.
Okay, because I feel I have a gloat.
I'm sorry, what is a gloat?
Geocaching, or the greatest log of all time.
Nice.
GLOAT. Really like that.
It was at a cash machine, and us in the Northwest, we know what a cash machine is all about. Mm-hmm. And the log went something like this. I didn't look it up, so it went like something. Teamed up with a bunch of friends. Bikely was out the door and had the cash in hand before the car even came to a stop. That was the last time we let him drive.
Very nice.
And I know exactly who that is, and yes, that would be right.
Yeah. Kind of happened a few times.
Yeah, more than one. So.
Well, it wasn't actually the last time.
Oh, but to answer your original question, we've been doing this for 4 years, come March 2018. But I got to tell you, it still feels new to us.
Yeah.
You know, we have learned a lot over this time, but it seems every project we're learning something new.
Very cool. Now, we also understand there's some news that you have to share about the design side of the business. So handing it over to you guys, please share with us what you have to tell us.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been having a little bit of, challenge, I guess, translating our business name, which is Cash Advance, to non-geocaching companies. We've kind of been a victim of our own success, where we're getting more folks reaching out to us that aren't geocachers, or maybe there's a geocacher on their board or in their chamber of commerce, what have you. And they're wanting to manufacture a coin or a medallion. And they say, hey, talk to these folks at Cash Advance. I'm like, payday loan store. So it was just not a real good name, perfect for geocaching, but not so good for non-geocaching organizations. So we are establishing a brand new company, actually, and it's going to be called Compass Creek Designs.
Compass Creek Designs.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we'll be slowly moving all of our geocaching coin and tag work and Cashkin, well, probably not the Cashkins. They'll probably stay with Cash Advance, because they're truly just a geocaching, the colorful tags. But more and more of our projects will be moving to the Compass Creek Designs LLC, which will be officially launching at the start of the new year.
Nice. Well,
that is really exciting news, and congratulations on that. And,
thank you.
Thank you for sharing it right here on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We're thrilled to have that. So for somebody that wants to design a geocoin, a challenge coin, things other people call them outside of the geocaching community, there's a process, of course, from conception through all the way through production. Can you maybe walk us through at a high level what the process is from design through production. We'll probably interrupt with questions. We tend to be inquisitive that way.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And you know, whether it's a geocoin or a medallion or a challenge coin, every piece is a unique piece of art. But the process I have found tends to be exactly the same from project to project to project. The factors that determine if a project is completed quickly or if it's going to take longer depends on the complexity of the design and actually how samples are handled. Because you have a delay with samples if our client wants to view the physical samples. Mm-hmm. But in our experience, every project follows, you know, this path, and it starts with having a design created and turned into us. There's a coin proof approval, which is the understanding via a drawing that we understand your vision. Okay. So much like a printed material, I think people will be familiar with that. They come back and you have to approve, yes, I spelled everything correctly, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. The client will approve that. Then we'll make the creation of the samples. And that's really a commitment point in the process, because some money's going to have to change hands to create the molds that are going to make the final pieces. Samples are made. Again, we can approve via pictures or we can approve via actual in-hand samples. Mm-hmm. Once those samples are approved, the production is ordered. In the case of geocoins, we get tracking numbers and we have to have geocaching.com approve the design as well. And that's a easy process, and we've not had one denied yet.
No, yeah. So we know it's important to get them approved.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
After that, when the mass production, there's a stage, that's what we call it, mass production, mm-hmm. Is received by us. We ship it to the client. The client receives it. And the final most important step is the client must film and publish their happy dance on YouTube.
Yeah. In their coins. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys, I have a question for you. You talked about the whole concept of geocaching.com needs to approve the mm-hmm. before they're published. What kind of things are they looking to make sure it's family friendly design or something like that? Guideline?
That's one thing they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the requirement to be a geocoin is the words to the effect that this trackable can be tracked on geocaching.com.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So you need those words.
Oops, yeah. Yeah. And those words can be changed up a little bit, mm-hmm. but it does specifically need to say something along that line, that trackable at geocaching.com. And there is a third thing as well, which is copyright infringement.
Hell yeah, there's that.
Yeah. You know, the coin can't have, you know, Mickey Mouse on it.
Mm-hmm. Silly details.
Yeah. Or a Seattle Seahawk, which we get asked a lot, you know, to include Seahawk imagery or Star Trek sort of imagery. Mm-hmm. You know, those are owned by other people, and there's quite a large fee to be able to recreate those images or logos. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing as well that needs to be cleared.
I would say it's a tie. The requests we get for Star Trek imagery mm-hmm. and caching in the Northwest imagery,
that too. Yeah, yeah.
So just to be clear, you can do those images. It's just going to cost something.
It very well
yeah,
can.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, they can be done. But yes, there's fees to be paid.
Yeah. Either to Gene Roddenberry or myself. Either way, you got to pay a fee.
Yeah. I often think of Gene Roddenberry and Chris of the Northwest just right up there at the same level.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get them confused, in fact. I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
See?
Well, that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me backtrack just a titch. Well, one of the first things that JD talked about was presenting us with a design to be created into a coin. We really only need a concept. We've actually literally worked with, you know, something that somebody sketched on a napkin or using their finger on their smartphone to draw a little imagery. Mm-hmm. It's something that they want to have made into a coin. And we can work with that. We work with quite a cadre of different designers. You know, the very complex 3D multiple piece coins that work together, or something, you know, more traditional round, you know, I don't want to say simple, but more traditional or easier 2D sort of design. Mm-hmm. With all the different designers that we work with, we really just need an idea and a concept, and we can go from there.
And you know, for the artistic people that have the talent, the skill to do design and are interested in doing a coin, they need to learn the nuances of working with the metal and enamel and how all that works. Mm-hmm. So that doing that in a project for those types of people is like a fun challenge to get it right. And other people really like to put together designs with, you know, public domain clip art and put things together that way. And so, you know, there's just so many ways to get a design on a coin.
Interesting. So I can give you my napkin sketches and get back a coin. That's easy. Everybody should be doing that.
I'm laughing because today, literally today, we got a photograph of a napkin sketch for one of our favoriteest Northwest megas that happens in the near summertime. And it is a picture of a napkin sketch. And I believe this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty cool coin. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, coins, sir. Coins.
Yeah.
I wonder which event that could be.
June.
Late June. Okay.
Not a clue. Not
somewhere in the Northwest. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. No, this literally was a napkin sketch.
It's a napkin. Mm-hmm. So I guess we don't even need a napkin sketch. We just need a picture of
the napkin sketch. Yeah. You know, we've actually sat around a table and done a few napkin sketches, so I know exactly what you're referring
absolutely,
to.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So you take that napkin sketch, and you guys yourselves are doing all the design, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh,
we can do basic design in-house. Mm-hmm. Definitely basic design. But that's really not our background. Either one of us is in the design area.
Her background, my skill set.
But we work with a lot of designers that is what they do, and mm-hmm. they're really good. So depending on each individual project, what their needs are going to be, we can match them up with the perfect designer and you know, and walk them through that process to get you know, the coin that they want.
Nice. And some designers cost more than others, of course, depending on what you want. And then Lisa has become quite adept at what I call turning an existing logo into coin speak.
Yeah.
So we have our entities, quite a few recently, that are classified as Muggle entities, but there's a cashier within them that is driving this business for the entity.
Yeah.
And so they all have their very nice logos or logos. Mm-hmm. And we'll get that. And we have to translate that into, well, this is going to be the metal, so it needs to be raised. This is where the enamel is going, so it needs to be lowered a little bit. So when they fill it with enamel, it'll be flush, things of that nature. And those types of projects have been turning out fantastic. So, and we hadn't had to go out of house to do that.
Yeah. We've been able to take their basic logo that they use as a graphic, say on their newsletters or their website, and translate that into a three-dimensional coin, even sometimes changing the shape, because their logo may be rectangular where they want a perfectly round coin. The Plano Parks and Recreation is one that we just shipped them, and they turned out great. So, yeah, those more simple, basic ones like that, we definitely can do in-house, and there's no additional fee for that.
Well, that's great.
That's an incredible service you guys offer.
You guys, everything Cash Advance and now Compass Creek, of course, offers has been just top-notch quality from what I've seen. And it sounds like there's a little more to the process than just going over to Compass Creek, clicking a design, and clicking, you know, add it to my cart, right? So it's a process.
It's a process.
Like any process, there's some things are easy and some things are a little more difficult parts of the process. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most challenging part of that process?
From our point of view, which is probably my point of view, the most challenging part of the process is the timeline for each project. Okay, each timeline is different. Remember, we talked about if you have samples in hand or approving through photographs, or the client's just not understanding the timeline. So it takes on the average a minimum of 3 perfect months from concept to coins in your hand. If, you know, that's about the minimum you can do. And so the people that understand that, they'll start their project 6 months ahead of time, 9 months ahead of time, work through all the issues because they know issues are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Other clients don't realize this. And it can really put themselves in a bind, us in a bind, the whole darn thing in a bind.
Yeah.
And so a real life example is this summer we went to a Muggle event and just randomly bumped into, you know, one of the 45,000 people at this event honoring a baseball player who's retiring was one of our clients saying, you know, any chat and talk. And as we're leaving, they're saying, oh, that reminds me, I got to get you our design for a project next month.
Their event.
So what?
Yeah.
And so, True to their word, they got us a design, and this went even better than perfect. So in less than 6 weeks, they had their coins for their event actually like a week early.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just went well, and everything went well and was acceptable the first time. Another situation we had is an event that – we worked on the coin for a very long time. Everything was on schedule. And upon final approval of the design, get ready for the sample process. Now it was revealed to us that there was actually 10 different color versions that we didn't know about.
Yeah, there was no mention of that.
And so while it was awesome, what complicated the issue was this event also had a very huge quantity of coins that needed to be divvied up in these 10 different versions. And that put the factory in a bind.
Yeah.
And so
it was beyond their capacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it wouldn't have been a problem if even another 15 days earlier it wouldn't have been a problem at all.
Yeah.
Came through, Event got coins, everybody's happy, nobody's wiser, you know, type thing. So it's just things that,
sleepless nights on our part.
Yeah.
So yeah, timeline is our biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in managing the timeline, it sounds like you're saying probably plan to allow 6 to 9 months so that's 3 solid months of working time. So if you're kind of looking at like elapsed time versus effort time perspective from a project management scheduling kind of point of view, really plan with 6 to 9 months ahead of when you think you're going to need the coins, if it's for a specific event, if it's maybe just you want to create a coin, your own personal design, or it's not time bound. What is that, you know, I guess expect the same kind of thing or?
No, that tends to have the opposite effect really. Because there is no deadline pressure, right?
Yeah.
And so those types of clients can afford the time to be very finicky is the wrong word, but precise.
Right? Yeah, exactly what you want.
Yeah.
If it's a signature coin, any project we want to be perfect. But it's funny. It seems as when there's not a date on a coin, things go more smoothly.
And so those projects will tend to take even longer than the average process, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. So one of the key questions everybody wants to know if they're thinking about this whole concept is how much should I budget? Is there like a ballpark budget or cost that I should be expecting to have available to me financially about creating
Bitcoin? So the quick answer is no, right?
Okay.
But if you were literally twisting my arm, you know, like the last time you were in Spokane doing the tour and you had me at the officer, give me the code to that damn cash, give me the code. And remember, I cracked like an egg because that hurt.
Somehow, I'm not recalling this the same. Enjoying the story.
I wasn't even there, and I'm recalling it just actually that way.
That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
But I can see that from Land Monkey.
Yeah.
So, geocaching mafia.
So I would say, yes, if you're thinking of doing a coin, you know, please budget around $1,200 plus, okay? And that will get you a nice two-sided coin. Tracking's included, tracking numbers. They're not free or even cheap. And so that's all included in there. There is a way. We've been successful for individuals and groups, actually for two different reasons, but by using a common back, what we call, which is the backside of a coin. And I think if you can pull up the pictures, it's one that obviously looks like the back of a coin that's all shiny and compass rosy.
It's a compass rose, yeah.
Yeah.
With a G in the
center. Middle.
So the most expensive part of producing a coin is building that mold that the coin is made from. You've got your basic round coin. You have your two sides and then a collar, and which is the edges of the coin. And we have what's called our common back, which is one side and the collar is already done. You know, so that's half, two-thirds practically of the cost that's already been taken care of for you. And then you also only have to come up with one side of the coin. So that also takes the stress off. If you don't only have a concept for one side of the coin, got you covered. It's going to cost less and you have less work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one real cost-effective way.
And Chris just skipped over it. He had the front of the coin.
I'm talking too much.
Didn't see a back for this. Is it the Pondere?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there should be a silver one. Same.
Yeah, I didn't see that in there. I see the back of the Auburn coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
That'll be technology.
Oh. Yeah, I know.
Are there examples of some of the coins you guys have created or designed and had created available on your website?
There will be soon.
Okay.
At the Compass Creek Designs. Right now, it's just a one-page, you know, hey, here's our website.
Sure.
But we're working on a whole portfolio. It's going to be a really cool website here very soon.
Yeah. So the common back allows the users to save on that cost Lisa was talking about, and then for organizations, they don't want 100 coins. They don't want 200 coins. They only need 50 for what they're doing. And if they had to make two sides, it would put them out of the budget. The Pondere coin that we showed there, that's a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
That they were just interested in the front and you do the back and keep it in budget. And
it's been 50.
Very successful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and we're working on a different common back for non-geocaching organizations as well.
Okay. Is there a minimum order? I mean, we're saying 50. Is that seems pretty standard as a minimum order?
That's a minimum order that we can place, and it's also the very most expensive way to buy a coin on a per coin basis.
Sure.
Yeah, because the economy of scale for all these parts that are making the molds, you know, the more pieces you make, the cheaper it is per piece. Yeah.
So really, it's worth getting 100,000 coins made.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. I recommend it every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I want to have a really unique back made to my coin, what I can do is get Chris to go and make a coin with the same back first, and then I can say, I just want to use that same back design that Chris used.
See, so there we go, Chris. Another caching in the Northwest. He needs to... Now you're ahead of Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. And I guess we should also mention that another option for creating a sort of signature item or a trackable item would be like a cash cans or a tag. Those are, gosh, about a third of the cost of creating a coin.
Obviously, they're not coins.
They're not coins,
but for people that want a signature trackable but don't necessarily want a coin or want to pay for a coin, that's a great option. And then one other option people have done is, you know, piggybacking on a land monkey there, is instead of a back, each of you make a front, go have these on the coin. One, you know, Chris's half is trackable to its number, and then Jason's is trackable to his number.
Oh, really? You can put like two tracking numbers. Well, yep. Of course you could.
They're out there. They're not.
I'm
that
sorry,
common.
Wits End. You've been left out. Well, we'll create a three-sided coin.
Oh,
well, you could. So you can put the you know, the witty remark on the rim going around.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm living on the edge.
Yeah, you might be.
Awesome. So, Lisa, you were saying that like the cash cans, the aluminum tags are another option. So I'm picturing like you guys sell, you recently had a series of like fish design ones. And so that's so those kind of things. I've seen like farm animals and everything. So if somebody wanted to get those made, are they pretty much just some sort of standard shape and you enamel on whatever design you want? Or can it actually be cut to shape like the ones we've seen?
Yeah, they're cut to shape.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Okay. So typically they're roughly 2 inches at the widest part, but they can go bigger than that. You might recall for the sustainability of Spokane GeoTour, that was a cash can, and that was 2.5 inches. And that was full color on both sides,
yeah,
which is pretty unique. We don't generally do full color on both sides, but those can be cut to any shape. And lots of different colors can be added, or it can be more simple.
Well, is it effectively the same design process?
Yeah, pretty much. The design is created. Mm-hmm. The proof is brought out. It's accepted. Mm-hmm. Samples, if wanted. Yeah, it's pretty much the same process.
Yeah, although it is two-dimensional. Whereas coins can be more three-dimensional with the different depths within the coin, cash cans are fairly flat.
Right.
And as we know,
it can be a lot of fun.
Aluminum is not a ferrous metal, and you can't use magnets on it. I'm just saying.
Right. Correct.
And then the client's YouTube happy dance is just, it can be 15 seconds shorter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Than the coin.
Okay. Good to know.
But the happy dance is still required.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to have to start doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Have to put them on your website as they come in.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, nice. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. All right. So if somebody wanted to get started, where's the best place to really just start the whole process of engaging with you guys and saying, okay, I've decided I want to make a coin. How do I even start?
Nope. Holy cows. When do we get a cat?
Sorry. Well, this is Kona.
The best way to start is to contact us right now through compasscreekdesigns.com, JD or Lisa at. Mm-hmm. Also, we'll take email JD or Lisa at cash-advance.com. Mm-hmm. Lisa's cash Advance on Facebook is accessible, right?
Yep. It's at Cash Advance on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus.
And I just, like Lisa was talking earlier, need a concept. I personally prefer a drawing, even if it is stick figure. That's helpful to me. Yeah. And then it's just a series of getting the project rolling, answering the questions. How long does it take? How long does each step take? When we initiate a project in our tracking system, there's a fill in a starting date, and I have a standardized Gantt chart for, and if everything went perfect, we'd be done by this date.
Yeah.
Type thing. And really that's all it takes.
Well, that seems pretty simple, actually.
Well, the other option too, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it out, is if you're interested in geocoins in the process and you don't belong to a Facebook geocaching group, join one. There's so many people in there. It's not mandatory U.S. law, maybe Canadian, but to have a geocaching company build your coin. You can do it yourself. And there's been plenty of people in the forums or in the groups that have done that, and they're willing to give you advice along the way or dissuade you from doing it yourself. You better go see somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I knew, though, the geocaching geocoin came from the military challenge coin. So, yes. You know, a lot of those worlds collide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, right.
If I can interject at this point in time, for those crossing the border,
I was just thinking this story,
coming from the U.S. to Canada, or probably coming from Canada to the U.S., and you have earned yourself a geocoin because of some amazing geocaching feat you have accomplished, and you're asked at the border, do you have anything to declare? And you think to yourself, you know what? I'm going to be legit. I'm going to tell this person that I have a geocoin. And you tell them, yes, I am declaring this geocoin. And they say,
a what?
You're what? You're going to do much better if you say to the customs officer, I am declaring a challenge coin.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Or a medallion.
Or a medallion. But challenge coin, they will know immediately what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. If you tell them you have a geocoin, they are going to start thinking you are carrying currency that you are declaring. And it's going to be a much longer conversation than it needs to be. So,
yeah.
And nobody wants a long conversation at an international border.
Not really.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we recently learned we had a booth at a local national interpreters association. Their national conference. Okay. And these are folks that are interpreting cultural history.
Hmm. Wow.
So, museum docents, park rangers, those sort of folks.
Cool.
Not sign interpreters, but sign interpreters. They make signs. Yeah. And we heard a couple of times from quite a few of the people there that we can't call them coins, because a coin is a governmental, something that's given by the government, or it's currency, it's, money.
Sure.
So they need to be called medallions. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Challenge medallions. Got it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a business that we're really wanting to expand.
I have several nice medallions.
Yes.
Beautiful medallions.
I think most of these are actually Cash Advance.
Yeah, let's see.
Oh,
some.
My goodness. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. We were looking back at the, nearly 4 years of our production, and I was presented with our body of work in chronological order.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we did that. It was a lot.
Projects, yeah. And then also including Cash Addicts work too, which is the company that we acquired 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And looking back on their history as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Impressive. Well, there you go. Everything you need to know, but we're afraid to ask about getting your very own geocoin.
Nice.
Well, JD and Lisa, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having on.
Yeah.
I learned a ton about coin design. That was really interesting.
Just one little tidbit, if you allow. If you do go to the CompassCreekDesigns.com front page, you will learn that we are offering a contest.
Ooh, contest.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 100-piece set of a Geo coin that is going to be using our common back, and your responsibility is to design the front.
Or we can help you with that.
Yeah, or we can help you with that.
Yeah.
And like everything else, this turned out to be a learning process. And at this point in time, when we thought we'd have this dialed in, we don't. So stay tuned for details. It'll probably be right around the first of the year, along with the official launch of the company.
Yeah.
Okay. So the contest isn't started yet. Is that?
No. No. Not yet, but it's coming. So.
Okay.
We don't even have a way for you to enter. I mean, you know, yeah, go to Land Monkey's site and tell him you want it.
Smoke signals. Yeah.
Nice.
We'll make sure you know as soon as we know.
Make sure you keep us up to date, and we will let all of our listeners know when that contest is launched and how to enter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
To have one of our listeners win that contest, that would be fantastic.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
All right. If one of our listeners win, we have to get. You're going to have to give three coins to Cashing in the Northwest, one for each host. It's there just required. Go.
Yeah, 2.9% and 35 cents.
Yeah.
No, that's something else.
That is almost exactly right. Yeah. Out of 100 coins, you have to give 2.9% and 35 cents. That's three coins.
Yeah. The cost of doing business.
That's right. Well, you know what, folks? Until next week, where can our listeners find more about Cash Dash Advance or Compass Creek Designs?
Well, those two websites right there,
yep.
CompassCreekDesigns.com, Cash-Advance.com. Look up Cash Advance on Google, and is there Twitter still around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. We tweet almost every day. Yeah. And Facebook.
It's got longer than it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find me on MySpace.
Yeah.
And GeoCities.
Yeah. Wow, I forgot about those guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Land Monkey, where can we find you?
Yeah.
Well,
AOL?
AOL, there you go. At Land Monkey GC. That's the best place to find us. We've got Twitter, Instagram, Periscope. Hey, we just Periscoped earlier this week. Tuesday night, we Periscoped live from the GLOW Christmas event in Langley. That's
nice. Cool.
The first announcement about the conference.
It's the geocaching contest, log of the week?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Geocaching log of the week. Exactly. That was a lot of fun. But definitely follow us there. That's how you'll find out about the contest and be able to get entered in to win your own Rivals of Ixalan Magic the Gathering trackables. You didn't win one already. But other than that, check us out on YouTube. It's Land Monkey, LANMONKUY on YouTube. And you'll find us there too. All right. My friend, wit's end.
Yes, sir.
Find you.
Well, talking about old, archaic, and outdated methods of communication, I do have to tell you, if you are trying to reach me, you can no longer reach me at 23357,2334 at CompuServe, but you can reach me at Wit's End on Twitter, Facebook, geocaching.com, and just about any other modern and current social media platform.
Can we
Chris
have
the Northwest?
V6.
No, wait. No, it was 73357,2334. I think that's right. If there's any archived CompuServe forums out there on the interwebs, somebody in the research department will let me know, I'm sure.
Wow. You know, yeah. I think we all ought to go back to using numbers. Names are just so confusing and hard to spell.
But your names, Chris of the Northwest, would be?
Well, you know, I like Cashing in W because it puts everything in just a nice, tight little bundle of letters. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. You know, better yet, just head on over to cashingnw.com/hosts and read our bios and find all those links that we just mentioned, plus more that we keep hidden because we want you to go look. But most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC, leave us a comment, ask us a question, or send us your GeoCoin napkin sketch any time of the day or night. Of course, absolutely, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Don't forget that your support helps keep the quality shows coming. If you like this show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attributions 3.0 license. Copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And now, we ask you to stay tuned for
the after show.
It gets me every time.
It does, doesn't it? It's so deep and moving.
The after show.
Oh, well, folks, thanks for listening tonight. We do have a couple of FATAS that we mentioned. In fact, the first one we've already talked about, that Team Finn has just submitted a new cache using the new layout, and you can't edit the page after submitting the listing, so, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Dora Moore, congratulations. Let's give Dora Moore a golf clap. She's finished up her fizzy grid in spite of two COs changing the difficulty and terrain ratings on their caches in the last year or two.
That should just not be allowed.
No. And how would you, I mean, you would have to keep track of that to know if something's changed. Because, you know, I just jump over to like a Project GC and say, tell me what I need to do. So.
That would be tough.
Yeah, wouldn't it though?
That might explain why I've gotten some grids filled in that I didn't think I had.
And there's that.
Or they nice become unfilled.
Yeah.
Huh. Oops. All right. We lost a cat. Good.
Well, your cat looks very well groomed.
Yes.
This is the one that we almost lost her about a month ago. She's doing really well now.
Oh, good. I'm sorry to hear that. You know, sick pets are really quite a challenge.
Yeah. Diabetes.
Well, it turns out cats and diabetes are totally different than dogs and diabetes.
Yeah.
And so our pooch, 3 years with diabetes, and it was pretty much the same routine. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad happened. Every once in a while you take them in and you see it giving them the correct dose and it always went up, you know, you need to start more and more as they got older and older. And so you treat the cat the same way. And that's not what you do. You listen to the cat because cats can, I'm going to say easily go into remission based on diet, mostly diet. And we didn't know that. So while the cat's remissing, we're upping her dose of insulin. And I guess medically, that's incompatible.
Yeah.
But it has to be the cat's idea.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of funny. When the diagnosis came in, we were we got to corral this cat twice a day to give her a shot. This is, you know, how are we going to do this? Time for the first shot. The cat walks up, rolls over on her back, says, okay, give me a shot. And it was like that. It was just the cat knew this helped her. And then one day the cat was fighting the shot. But being us with opposable thumbs, we went and give the cat the shot. But the cat was right. We just didn't listen to her. And that ended up with an emergency visit that night. And then, you know, next day, recap of events, after we have all the medical knowledge we had, you know, well, the cat was trying to tell us not to, to give her a shot.
Yeah.
And so now she'll stay in remission for days at a time. And then has developed a language that can tell us, hey, I need a little booster here. And then you do the boosters till she runs away from you.
Yeah.
You know, for how many days that is, and she runs away. And it's been working great. She thinks she's 5.
Yeah, she's 13. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, so, you know, listeners and hosts, if your cats develop diabetes, keep this in mind.
Yeah.
There you go.
That is fascinating. I had no idea.
Neither did we.
Yeah. I used to be a vet tech.
There you go. I have a solution to that personally, which is don't own a cat. So.
Oh.
That's a good solution.
Well, you don't own a cat. The cat owns you.
Yeah. The okay, cat decides to stay
with
you.
We're staff. We're just staff.
That's right.
And technically speaking, this would be my cat-in-law.
So. Step cat.
Step cat. There you go. Even more technically.
Yeah.
Once removed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
A catastrophe. Yeah.
A catastrophe. There you go.
Were there any questions in the chat?
Great question.
No, not really. There was one, really? You know, where was it? I want to make a geocoin someday, says Brylang, but no budget for it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know,
the budget can be a challenge.
Yes, yeah. It can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What one way to work around a budget if you're looking to put on a geo tour or a geo challenge in an area, you know, is to work with the bigger community.
Mm.
You know, talk with your visitors bureau, your tourist locations, hotels, chamber of commerce. Quite often, they're interested in what geocachers have to offer to bring to communities. They bring quite a bit, actually, when they come in to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way. It wouldn't be a personal geocoin. But it could certainly be something to showcase your area, working with other organizations within your community.
Right. And it's a good place to start. You know, you can always produce a geocoin for an event with the intent of selling it.
Right.
You know, that may not be a best place to start, but that will help you recoup some of the expenses.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the coins that we produce are for events. You know, we produce them on contract for the event host, and then that's part of the registration package as a fundraiser or something that they sell just at the event for funds. So, yeah, and they can even do pre-sales, so they know exactly how many to produce. So, you know, they're able to cover their costs and make a profit and not make too many, so they have some extra, you know, coins lingering.
Right.
If it's really well thought out and planned in ahead, it's a win-win for everybody. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So, again, for a brand new person starting out, this is going to be my first geocoin. That's probably not the best idea, but, you know, if you sell a few, you're going to help recoup those expenses a bit. So once you get into it, then you can fine tune the amounts and your prices and off you go.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of folks will produce their first coin as something that they would then have to trade with other cashers to collect their coins as well.
There you go.
So it's more of something that it's their own that they can then trade to collect other coins.
Right. Yeah, I guess if you're really getting into the hobby from that side of things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do that with path tags.
Right. Yep. Same concept.
Yep.
I remember when it was Geo Woodstock 8. It was right here in Seattle. I went to the Midnight Geocoin Madness.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And walked in. I was like, no, this is not the place for me. I didn't come in with my tubs of coins and like, wow, that is a different world. I had never seen that before.
It is. It's completely different. Coiners is the term that's used. And you know, there's still geocachers, but That's the beauty of geocaching. You know, there's such diversity exactly. in our community.
They are geocachers, but we don't talk about them.
Oh, wait. Not that there's anything wrong with that. No, I mean, you're exactly right, Lisa. There are so many aspects of geocaching that, yes, I have a few coins. I wouldn't consider myself a coiner by any stretch of the imagination. You know, yes, I've done earth caches, but, you know, I'm nowhere in the land monkey range of doing earth caches. So, you know.
Yeah, and we can all dabble our toes if we want to in different aspects of geocaching. Sure. Where, you know, some folks they're out there peak bagging, you know, and other folks are out there just doing trails, power trails.
Power trails, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then some folks look at coins that way, almost like power trails.
Yeah.
For their coins.
Well, yeah. The obvious analogy is baseball card collecting.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was never into that. And I'm not into the coin. I bring tubs of coins to events, but they're to be sold.
Yeah.
And, but the coins I get, like I get at the events, the coin fest we just went to, I activate them. I put them in my collection, my inventory, or whichever one it is. And they're mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to trade these with you. And there's a set of us at all these events, coin events that are like that. You know, I hear you, brother. And so, it takes all types to have an event.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So do you have a rookie mountain bike coin?
No, but I know who does.
I had my hands on one of his early edition ones way back when it was, you know, a first to find prize in one of his Christmas caches.
Oh,
this was like 2003 or 2004, I think. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Well, you know, and I've never been into swag. I'm not a collector type person. And I thought, oh, that's a really cool, you know, collector coin thing. I'll leave it for the next person.
Yeah.
Had I only known.
So apologies, because I probably already told you this story, but it's my favorite mountain bike story. We were in Woodstock in Pennsylvania. And back then, event stacking wasn't an issue. So there's events every 5 minutes, every 5 feet.
Yeah.
And of our little entourage, I got voted most likely to go to these events and log them in. And so I'm standing in line.
See, the rest of us were selling in the booth, and he knew that would be not. Yeah.
Sales go better when I'm not there. So I'm standing in line. And these people behind me are talking, and people in front of me are talking, but the people behind me talking, their story is more interesting. So I started listening to them. And what it was, these two kids, and they're talking about geocoins. And by kids, I'm going to say late teens. And then an older guy, by older guy, probably in his 30s. The older guy eventually produces what was a mountain bike coin in the little flip, you know, the display. And he says, well, here's what I have. And he opens it up, and it was a cloudy day, but right then the clouds parted and the sun shone down right on the, and we thought we heard some music, you know, and
angel singing.
And by then I'm saying, well, what's that? And I barge my way in on this conversation, and the older gentleman just said, this is a mountain bike coin. And I go, where I'm from, they're dime a dozen.
I'm his next door neighbor.
Actually, he does. He just lives up the street from us.
There you go.
Well, outside the freeway, but up the street.
Yeah, so that's my mountain bike story.
Nice. That's awesome. I was able to discover his very first coin. He still has it.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got to get kind of a special tour of HQ to
get that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because it doesn't have a number on it. So, you know, I emailed him back. I said, oh, by the way, I wanted to log that coin, but I didn't get the number. He goes, it's one. Oh, okay.
The very first one.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah, it was neat to when I met him at HQ and he was showing me some of the stuff that he's got around his office. I don't know if he always has that stuff in at his desk, but he had it in that day, and so it was kind of cool to do that. Yeah, John's just such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been super helpful with us since he's kind of co-located back here at Spokane.
Right on.
Helping out with our geo tours. And we actually went for a first to find a couple weeks ago. And
that's funny.
He showed up too.
Hey, how about that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
And he found it.
He did, yeah. He was there, but apparently he found it.
And he can cash too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's good at cash.
I cleared that vector.
I've done that. No, don't you dare go look there. I've already looked there and it's not there.
Yeah. It's like caching with rock chalk. Same kind of.
Yeah.
What was one of those, you know, caches at eye level? So, you know, of course it was over my head.
It'll go over everybody's head.
Yeah.
I don't know whose eye that was, but.
Yeah. But we got it. Well, he got it.
It was his birthday.
And it was his birthday too. Yeah.
Oh, well, he deserves it then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody should find a cache on their birthday.
Yeah. First of all, yeah. Especially the father of geocoins.
Yeah.
There you go. Very cool. Well, I think that probably wraps up the after show for tonight. Was there anything else we wanted to make sure we covered off before we said goodnight to all of our listeners and viewers? No, we're good.
I think we're good. We're good.
And thanks again for having us on. We certainly do appreciate it.
We really do.
I hope we didn't bring your ratings down as much as we did the last time.
No. We've recovered. No, you're welcome here anytime.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you guys on.
We always enjoy talking with you.
Oh, good. Thanks. We love chatting with you guys, too. Yeah, we'll definitely get you guys information about our contest as soon as we know.
Yeah.
Well, until next week. Get out and get caching in the Northwest.